hello again. You caught me at an awkward time. I'm just working on my tan. If the reek of putrefaction doesn't kill you, the radiation will. the ghost of summer is in the air, and I smell the perfume of a burgeoning romance around you. At least, I hope it's that, and not the noxious fumes from my last embalming. Which brings me to today's cadaverous cassette. Did you ever wish you could cleanse yourself of the past? Did you ever want to permanently wash away the sins that stain your soul? Zach Sheridan fancied himself tall, dark, and handsome until he met his match. When it came to the darkness part, that is. Cupid's arrow may strike hard, but a woman's scorn can definitely deal a heartier blow. It's a tale about the transformative power of transgression. So put on your sunglasses and grab that SP666 sunscreen as we travel to a little hideaway called Cade Beach.
Zach stood in front of the window. The nurse had said the doctor would be in soon, but he was nervous. Not about the doctor, about his shitty parking job. If someone opened their passenger side door, it would slam right into his new hatchback. He looked down just in time to see someone wearing a dark pullover sweater with the hood up. They were peering into his driver's side window. The figure raised a rusty pry bar. The blow shattered the window into 1,000 worthless smoky diamonds. Why? Didn't people still pick locks or something? He just had a tenant. The door behind Zach was opened by the doctor, who expected to see a seated, waiting patient. Instead, a shirtless man shoved past her and through the lobby, howling expletives that echoed as he scrambled down the stairwell from the third floor down towards the lobby. The hatchback sped out of the lot as Zach cleared the front door of the building. His lungs burned. He begged his legs not to slow, all the while fumbling in his pocket. Zach finally slid his phone out as he tore through a decorative hedge. He swiped to the app for his dash cam. A stuttering video feed materialized, showing the car's point of view as it rounded a corner and began speeding down a narrow side road. Still running, Zach opened a second app, this one a rideshare service, and ordered a solo ride, despite the surge. He slid back to the dash cam. His car had stopped at a red light while a bus turned across the intersection. A swipe back to the rideshare app, the driver would be there in less than 2 minutes. He slid the app away and dialed his phone. 911 emergency, how can I help you? Someone stole my car. I'm pursuing it and have my dash cam tracking them on my phone. He gave them the address and his license plate number. Sir, what did you mean pursuing? A silver hybrid pulled up. The app said the driver's name was Richie. Zach jumped in the car, muting the 911 call long enough to bark the name of the intersection where his car was. Richie did a double take at his rear view, unsure of the sweating, shirtless figure with a face caked in desperation. Please, man, drive, Zach gasped. He brought the phone up to his ear. Where are you right now? The operator sounded confused. I'm in a rideshare in pursuit of the vehicle. Sir, I don't recommend that you follow the car. Please let the authorities handle this. No, I won't catch up to them. I'm keeping in range so I can tell you where they are with my dash cam. Richie stopped at the red light. Zach muted the phone. $20 to run it. Richie accelerated after a brief glance around. Zach put the phone on speaker. They turned left on St. Maud Ave, he said to both Richie and the operator. Sir, please ask your driver to pull over and wait. An officer in the area needs to collect your statement. Nope, not gonna happen, sorry. Richie gave a skeptical glance through the rear view. Zach cautiously spoke into the phone again. Wait, is this breaking the law? A pause. No, sir, to my knowledge, you are not currently breaking any laws. Okay, they passed the S-Mart on Spiegel Drive. Zach made a vigorous waving gesture with his hand, and Richie picked up speed. The operator came back on. Sir? I'm right here. You need to ask your driver to pull over now. If you are pursuing them at high speeds, then you are engaging in reckless driving. We'll find both of you and will be forced to report your driver to their company. Richie looked back at Zach, who shook his head and pointed at the phone as if to say, "Come on, bro." But the car began to slow. He muted the phone. "Richie, my man, no, please. We've got them." He swiped to the dashcam app and could see his car not too far ahead of them, gaining speed. Richie's response came in the form of a dull click as its hazards engaged. The car began to slow to the shoulder. "Sorry, dude, I want to help you, but this is my livelihood. We'll wait for the cops." "Richie, the cops? The cops? Look at how quickly you and I got to catching up with my car. You and me, Richie." Not looking back, Richie maneuvered to the shoulder and threw the car in park. Zach reached towards him, but the driver shrugged him off. Motion on the phone drew Zach's attention to his lap. His car had finished a rubber-shredding U-turn and was driving back towards them. Fast. Zach looked up and passed Richie. His precious hatchback leapt over the median, a heat-seeking missile in gunmetal gray with blue highlights. Unable to think of anything more helpful, Zach screamed, "Car!" while pointing past Richie, who was looking down at his own phone texting. Zach's car collided with the front bumper of the silver hybrid, going at least 70. The top half of Richie disappeared into his airbag like a perverse magic trick. Zach's phone flew out of his hand, landing in the footrest of the front passenger seat. Zach, still buckled in, was forced to headbang harder than he had ever done voluntarily in middle school. The front of the hybrid lifted and then lurched back to the asphalt as Zach's hatchback reversed, only to spin alongside them before speeding off. The thief was a nondescript silhouette through the passenger side window of his car. "Goddamn tinting," thought Zach. He unbuckled his belt and dove forward into the front seat of the car to grab his phone off the floor. A sudden sense of deja vu flooded over him as he kicked open the passenger door. For the second time today, Zach broke out into a run after his hatchback, even as it wove through distant traffic. "That's my car!" he screamed. He heard the operator still on speakerphone, "Sir? Are you okay? What is happening?" "They circled back and hit us," he yelled to the phone, then swiped to the dashcam app. "My car just crossed Trainer Lane." The intersections on his screen were passing by faster and faster as the hatchback gained speed. The picture began to warble and glitch. His car was moving out of range. The phone's battery icon blinked, a bright red 8%. Zach was getting winded as well, gyrating side to side with each forward step. He came to a stop, panting as he bent over at the waist, only to have a coughing fit drop him into a sitting position. The operator on speakerphone was screaming for his attention. "Sir!" Panting, Zach held the phone up to his face. The image had finally frozen. His car was too far away. Despite the grainy video, he recognized the turnoff on the screen. He let his phone fall to the gravel, ignoring the voice on the other end even as he struggled to keep from becoming sick. Zach let his body slowly descend until he lay on his side. A couple walking their dogs sidestepped him, avoiding eye contact with the sweaty, shirtless man lying in the middle of the sidewalk. His neck had begun to thrum with pain from the collision. "Maybe he should see a doctor." He started to laugh, which only drove the couple away with greater urgency. It took over half an hour to walk the rest of the way. He'd thought about going somewhere with a lax, no shirt, no shoes policy, grabbing a grinder and a beer and calling it a day. But he knew what this was about now, knew that his car's destination meant only one thing. He had reached the pedestrian crossing and looked across the street at a faded sign that now barely displayed the name, Cade Beach. Vines had overtaken the sign, making the narrow turnoff almost invisible to passing cars. He walked across the ancient concrete bridge, still amazed at how quickly the sound of the busy intersection faded as you reached the dunes, only to then become completely eclipsed by the crashing of the waves. Cade Beach was not a tourist destination. The shores met jagged rocks, the salty air was overwhelmed by the stench of a nearby landfill. The place came up on the news every few years, usually for medical waste spills or stabbings. It was the perfect place for shitty teenagers to gather and get drunk. The cold wind whipped his back and Zach felt vulnerable. The only sounds were the dull motion of the tide and the melancholy howl of the wind. He was not surprised to see fresh tire tracks leading off the low shoulder of the parking circle and down into the dunes. His car lay upon the rocks of the shore, belly up. Feculent waves crashed apathetically against it, the new LED headlights casting shifting shadows that danced with the tidal flow. His family had moved here over the summer of 2002 and he'd found himself friendless. Which was fine. It was an opportunity for reinvention. He shaved his head into a jagged mohawk and walked until he found a show. He'd usually post up in a corner while the next in a series of 10 screaming bands to play that day washed over him. Bumming out cigarettes between sets to the kids who weren't straight edge seemed to be as good a way as any to start meeting people. This led to trading tapes and stories about bands. It was August. School was set to start in 2 weeks. The venue this time was some short, loud girl's basement. The majority of the attendees were trailing her like white worms from a dog's ass. The next band was taking forever to set up, so he had sunk into an old leather couch in the corner of the concrete space. Then she dropped next to him. Alexandra Neal, too much white makeup, heavy pitch black eyeliner, and a silver hoop nose piercing. Dressed all in black with shoulder-length hair to match, light brown roots slightly showing. She unzipped a patch-covered hoodie as she turned to talk to him. Beneath was a thin tank top that exposed her pale midriff, adorned with a belly piercing and goose flesh from the basement's overcranked AC. By the end of the night, they had ditched the show and gone off into the woods behind the house to feverishly make out. Her mouth tasted like menthol. She bragged about shoplifting and suggested they meet up again to break stuff. He was entranced. A few weeks later, they began to hang out at Cade Beach with a few other kids whose names he had long since forgotten. And even at the time, mattered very little. Alex was the focal point of his tunnel vision, and they had hell to raise. Soon, they had stolen dozens of CDs, a few street signs, and a warm six-pack. They drank the beers while sitting at an overpass, throwing the empties onto passing cars. He remembered feeling unafraid, as if what he was doing was completely normal as long as she was there. Fall break was their first breaking and entering, going into an old man's house through the garage while he was at the store. They stole some money out of a drawer and a war medal that Zach pinned to his jacket. They went to different schools, so he only saw her when they could both sneak out. He felt like a fugitive, a spy, the coolest person he had ever been or ever could be. Then something seemed to change in her. She seemed distant, distracted. There was one night, sitting here on the dunes, Alex had been laying in the sand, staring up at the sky. Her dark hair spread out in all directions like a black halo. He'd been throwing beer bottles at some rocks. "Do you ever think that?" She started to ask, but then looked into his eyes and stopped. Zach knew he had to do something. Of course, escalation was the only idea his hormone-addled brain could think of. After the move, one selling point of Zach's new house had been the detached garage. It was the perfect spot for his dad's project car. His mom balked at the notion anyone would ever go out there. His dad proved her right by almost never working on his dusty 67 Malibu, which gave Zach plenty of time to practice what he had seen in movies. Namely, tapping the wires from the exposed steering column together until the right combination brought the starter to life. He met Alex behind the alley that night, then surprised her by jimmying the lock of a car parked deeply in the shadows. He was so wrapped up in his work that he almost missed the look on her face as the car door popped open. It was a hesitation, the first time she hadn't seemed sure of herself since they'd been together. He slid into the driver's seat, pried off the plastic of the dash near the wheel, and began tapping the wires together. The car stuttered to life, causing Alex to jump back. He beckoned to her with an evil grin. After a moment, she smiled back, then languidly climbed across him to the passenger seat. It was a sensation he would still find himself recalling years later. Flying over cracked asphalt, Zack showboated by swerving into the oncoming lane. Alex seemed tense at first, but thawed, letting out cheers at the thrilling moments. By the end, her arms were around him as they took a curve about 20 miles too fast. They almost got air, speeding over the narrow bridge to the beach. She had her tongue in his ear, the heat of her breath firing off involuntary shudders that almost made him swerve. He spun the car to a stop in the narrow lot, leaving a heavy skid on the pavement. The marks would remain there for several years, like a scar. He tackled her up and over into the back seat. Her surprised shriek melted into a giggle as they began to yank off each other's clothes. The windows began to fog against the April cold. She squirmed around and found her way on top of him, her dark hair draped around his face. She bit her lip shyly as he began to tug at the elastic of her underwear. That was when he heard the brief double tap of a siren. A patrol car had rolled in, stopping before the one-lane bridge. He choked out an expletive and fumbled for the door. The handle moved, but nothing happened. Child locks. He felt invulnerable until this point, somehow assuming that because he knew it was all for laughs, the universe did as well. This was like waking up to someone dumping a bucket of cold water on you. Worse, a soda bottle full of hot piss. He dived over into the front seat, but the pants were still around his ankles. They caught up on the headrest, slamming him face first into the dashboard, sending the car towards the edge of the lot that faced the ocean. He didn't think after that. It was all reflex. He saw the cliff, opened the door, and jumped. Zack's head slammed against the frame of the door hard as he dove out. The stars in front of his eyes mixed with the stars above as he rolled along the filthy sand. He slammed against the base of a long dead tree. He was seeing double, but shook his head to clarity just in time to see the taillights of the car rolling down the steep embankment. A flashlight beam shone his way and he scrambled forward, tumbling in the dark along the sand, tugging up his torn jeans from around his ankles as he went. The shouts from behind grew distant. When he reached the ocean, he followed it until he reached an inlet. He never saw Alex again, and no one ever came for him. He sighed with exhaustion and looked back down at his own car. The slightest sound of footsteps behind him, and Zack turned, not shocked in the least, to find Alex standing there. He had never seen her without a thick layer of makeup, but that wasn't the reason he didn't recognize the gaunt form in front of him. Scarring from years-old skin graft shimmered in the sodium light of the parking lot like broken glass. The long, dark curtain of hair was gone. Instead, she had a buzz shock of short, brown hair. She wore stained gray work pants and a dark pullover hoodie, her hands tucked into the bulging front pocket. That mischievous glint in her eyes was gone, replaced with a resigned, simmering rage. "Hi, Alex," he said, trying but failing to keep his tone as neutral as possible. The wind from the cliff was cold against his back. She took a limping step forward, sizing him up with her one good eye. The other was gray and vacant, dead to the world. Zack took the smallest step back, only to have his heels dig into the curb, a sharp drop to the ocean behind him. 12 years, Zack. She shook her head and grinned mirthlessly at the ground. It took me 12 years to learn to walk again. Another 2 to get released, and 1 more to find you. He threw his arms in the air. "Lex, I didn't think. His eyes dropped to the ground. "I left you in that car." He willed his face up to her scarred gaze. "I'm sorry." He flinched, eyes dropping to her scuffed work boots. "If I could go back and change what I did, I would." He looked up at her. "But I can't, Alex." She regarded him like someone trying to read a sign in the distance. He gestured over the cliff without looking back. "Does this make us even?" One hand snapped out of her front pocket, clamping around his gesturing wrist. It only had 3 fingers on it. She pulled him closer. The sleeve of her hoodie rode up her arm, revealing fresh, bloody cuts. They looked like symbols. Zack's eyes went white as a vision overtook him. Flashes of pain and the stench of burning hair washed over Zack, The inside of a furnace. No, it was the inside of that stolen car. Another flash, then a hospital bed. The disapproving, stern face of a father silently disowning. Years of immobility, of shitting in bedpans and skin grafts and empty, silent halls. A chance encounter with an old book left behind by an elderly shut-in. A new purpose. Years of feverish study. Finally, a black pact, signed into scarred flesh. Zach gasped as she released his wrist. He looked back at Alex with shock and confusion. A familiar smile transformed her face. For a moment, she was the force of nature he had imagined her to be all those years ago. For a moment, he expected an embrace, longing for her forgiving arms to encircle him and say he wasn't at fault. Then the moment passed. Her other hand swung out of the hoodie, clutching a knife. It made a quick arc across his chest, slicing easily. He stumbled back, teetering on the edge of the curb, one arm raised, the other pressing against the deep cut. She was standing right in front of him, the knife in one hand and a denim rag in her other. On it were more of the tiny glyphs like the ones on her arm. Alexandra Neal took the cloth in her left hand and wrapped it around the knife. She held the bundle close to her face and whispered something into it, lost to his ears by the ocean and the wind. Zach broke into a run, sure she would be chasing him any second, knife overhead like some unstoppable slasher from a B-movie. He chanced one quick look back over his shoulder, only to see her throw the bundled knife over the cliff. Zach stopped, watching the rag-swaddled knife tracking its parabola through the air. The frayed edges of the denim fabric bristled in the wind as it sailed over the rocks and downward. The bundle landed on the ruined heap of his car, punctuated only by the smallest metallic thunk. The sound seemed to come from two places at once, from the shore below, yet somehow also above him. Zach looked up only to see the cloth roof of his hatchback. Before he could even try to understand how that could be, the whole thing burst into flames. All was pain and instinct after that. Burning plastic fell on his face, burning metal branded his arms. The car had landed with its broken window facing the ground. He had to crawl through a well of fire and then squeeze under and around the burning wreck to get out. By the time he did, every inch of him was a raw wound. Zach dragged his body across the rocks, the tender cooked flesh of his stomach serrating against the angular crags. He was still burning, he needed to get to the water. The reek of the polluted ocean fought with the stench of his scorched hair and clothes. At last, Zach reached the dark, fetid waves of Cade Beach. The moon emerged from the clouds to show him a rippling face he no longer recognized as his own. Then the light reached behind him, uncovering Alex's reflection over his shoulder. He dove into the water with all his remaining strength. A lifetime of darkness passed before he found the way back up. Coughing, delirious, Zach surfaced. He blinked the filthy brine from his eyes just in time to see Alex, at the edge of the shore, slip into the water. It swallowed her. Panicked, Zach began to push himself deeper into the ocean, away from her. There was a sound behind him, like driftwood snapping against the tide. Zach spun in the water, each splashing wave whipping his raw flesh like sandpaper, the salt magnifying his agony more than he could ever believe. An ethereal light was glowing beneath the water ahead, like a jellyfish in a nature documentary. Something in the depths was moving. Another splash from behind. Zach spun again. Alex was rising out of the water, still at the rocky shore. Clumps of seaweed fell from her as she emerged. The clouds let free more moonlight, and he realized it wasn't seaweed. It was skin. Her burned skin sloughing off as if it was mud, disintegrating into the ocean, revealing untouched pale flesh beneath. She climbed back onto the rocks gracefully, no hint of her limp. A sound cracked behind him again, but she had him transfixed. Alex stood on the shore. She pulled the blood-stained hoodie over herself. It obscured her face for just a second, but once it was off, she shook out a head full of long, light brown hair. She fixed her eyes on him, two clear blue orbs. He felt stinging tendrils encircle his ankles. "The jellyfish must have reached me," he thought distantly. He couldn't stop looking at her. Alex was climbing back up the hill now. She looked sad, thoughtful, like she did that night so long ago. The tendrils gave his leg a firm tug, far too strong for jellyfish. The water around him began to glow brighter as something deep below pulled Zack Sheridan under the water. Light filled his vision. She never did tell him what she was thinking about that night. Alex stood at the edge of the parking lot, looking out across the dunes and down to the shoreline. The wind caught her light brown hair and whipped it off her shoulders and into her face. She tried to remember why she was here. She'd been out drinking with Stephanie from work and had realized how close she was to Cade Beach. That was about all she could remember, which was bad news. She'd sworn off drinking to the point of losing time back in college. Yet, here she was. A quick glance around, no other people in sight, no cars. Did she walk here? The wind gusted again, prickling her pale skin and making her realize she was shirtless. Alex realized she couldn't remember why that was either. Her skin also felt tacky, like she had been swimming. "Please say not down there," she thought, shuddering at the sludgy waves that crashed below. Her gaze stayed fixed on the rocks. For a second, she could have sworn she saw that car from all those years ago. 15 years. Tonight would be exactly 15 years, she realized. Her subconscious must have known, even if she hadn't remembered. Poor Zack. She often wondered what would have happened if they'd both made it out of the car. The wind howled and Alex Neal shivered against the ocean air. She fished out her phone and requested a rideshare driver. One was less than 5 minutes away, a silver hybrid. "Well," she thought, looking down at her black sports bra, then back at her phone, "I sure hope Richie isn't a pervert." Cade Beach, written by Carl Cool, music by Carl Cool and Snake Oil.